How are we? Good. Great. Good. Great. Awesome. Wonderful. So this is one of those sermons. We're continuing in our sermons on series on the Mount, our series on Sermon on the Mount. And you see, today we're on judgment, everybody's favorite day. What I want you to hear, as I've often explained at the beginning of these sermons, is this sermon is for you. I don't want you to be sitting here and going, oh good, I've been waiting for these passages by Jesus, and I've been waiting because I want to give this sermon to someone else, because someone else needs to hear it. That person in my social media feed, or that family member, or that friend, like I'm preaching, I want to hear this message so that I can give it to someone else. I want you to hear this message as if you need to hear it. And then if you decide someone else, it would bless somebody else, then you could give it to somebody else. But I want us to make sure that we are coming to these verses because we need to hear them, right? There's a difference. And sometimes Christians, we like to be like, oh, this is so good. Somebody else would be blessed by this. I hope that you are blessed by this. In his book, Repenting of Religion, Greg Boyd, who's a pastor in the cities, said that he was at the mall, probably Mall of America, some Saturday afternoon, sipping on Coke and observing people. And he said he noticed, as he watched people go by, as he watched people go by, he noticed how he would casually judge other people. Have you been here, right? The people watchers in the group, people walk by and you're like, oh, they're pretty, they're not, they're slender, they could lose some weight. Maybe you like the clothing choices they pick for that day. Maybe you have some thoughts about their clothing choices. Maybe you see how they carry themselves, how they interact with their spouse, how they treat their children. Maybe you're like, oh, that's such a nice family. Or maybe like something makes you mad in the way that they're interacting with their children. He said, some make me angry, some make me disgusted. And then he said, I'm noticing in all this, after a moment's introspection, that I realized that I am judging others to make me feel good. He said, it's satisfying to in some ways to stand in judgment over people. I enjoy being the one who gets to pronounce the verdict. Pretty, ugly, good, fat, ugly, ungodly, disgusting, cute, put together, not put together, and so on. Right on cue. It was so cute, wasn't it? So turn with me to John chapter 8. We're going to take a meandering path to get to my point today. John chapter 8, if you're familiar with the passage, there is a story in John chapter 8, and it's a story of the woman who was caught in adultery. And so, to give you an overview of the story, this woman was caught in adultery and she was drug out in front of the town, in front of probably the middle of the square. And she was drug out by the religious leaders. And the religious leaders bring her out and say, okay, she was caught in adultery. I don't know where the guy was, right? But she was caught in adultery, so the religious leaders brought her out to single her out and pronounce a judgment over her. In verse 8 in John, these religious leaders, I imagine the scene, she's maybe kneeling on the ground and the religious leaders are all around her, and they have in their mind what they're going to do. They know what the Old Testament says about this punishment, that this woman who's caught in adultery is, like, they are able to pronounce condemnation over her, and in this time, in this culture, they're actually able to, like, capital punishment, stone her to death. Different time, different culture. And they bring Jesus out, and they ask Jesus a question, and they're testing Jesus, right? They're testing, will he uphold the Old Testament law? Will he give grace? Like, what's Jesus going to do in this scenario? Jesus, or they say to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order, on the basis, to accuse him. But Jesus bent down and started to write in the ground with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote more in the ground. At those, the men who heard this slowly walked away one at a time. Older ones at first, younger ones followed. And then it was only Jesus and the woman standing there. And Jesus asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Her response, "Nobody, sir." Jesus declared, "Now go and leave your life of sin." See, these men were judging her. They were playing God. And they were going to punish her for her actions, which the law gave them a right to do. I have a question for you. Have you ever felt judged by anybody? Yeah, most of us probably have, right? Some ways maybe less significant than others. Others of us maybe have felt the full weight of someone's judgment and condemnation heaped upon our lives. But think of a time when you were judged. And then maybe a little bit more of an uncomfortable question, when have you judged somebody? I have. Right? I think it was just this week. I saw a post on social media, and I clearly judged the person making the post. Anybody? Just me. Okay. That's good. But we judge for all sorts of reasons, right? We judge to make ourselves feel superior, to make ourselves feel like we belong to something greater or belong to a side or an ideology. We judge in attempt to try to understand the world. We judge sometimes out of envy. We judge as a defense mechanism to our own trauma that we have in our life. Or we judge as a way of, I'm going to judge this so I can hide from my sin over here. We judge from insecurities. We judge. There are all sorts of reasons why we judge, right? We judge as trying to figure out the world. We judge to learn. This isn't how I want to live my life, so I want to go this direction, right? Not all judgment is bad. Here's a question for us. Are we supposed to judge? Are we? Christians can sometimes be known for their judgment of others and the way that others are living. We live in a culture where there's plenty of songs with the line in it, "Only God can judge me." Right? We live in a culture that simultaneously resists being judged, but also says, "I have the right to judge every single person, whether they are right or wrong." Christians fall into the same trap, right? There's judgment all over our world, and sometimes you and I are left with the question, are we supposed to judge? If so, how are we supposed to judge? What does judgment do to our hearts and our minds? How do we discern what's right and wrong in the world? Because we are supposed to do that. Well, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, he's talking about treasures in heaven. He's talking about worrying. And then he gets into this topic of judgment. And in verses 1, chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says this, "Do not judge." Plain as day, right? Are we supposed to judge? Do not judge, Jesus says, for in the same way that you judge others, you will also be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we're stuck with this kind of dilemma. Jesus says, don't judge. But does Jesus judge in other places? In John chapter 8, did Jesus judge the woman? He did, right? He said, go and what no more? Sin no more. But simultaneously, he's telling the men that are in the crowd, the religious leaders, don't judge her, don't condemn her. So what is going on here? It's really in the definition of the word judging and the idea of judging. See, Jesus judges all sorts of things throughout his ministry. He's judging this person should be valued, this person should be loved, this person should be confronted, this religious system should be confronted, should be corrected. We see Jesus all over the Gospels making little judgments along the way. But then he comes to us and goes, hey, it's not your job to judge. What is he talking about? There is a difference between making judgments and morally discerning and making judgments that lead to condemning people. See, Romans 14, 10, verse 13. Paul is talking about the church judging each other and judging, well, this person eats this and this person eats that, and you're making judgments about their faith according to what they eat and so on. And Paul says, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account for ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment to one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother or sister. Paul says, don't judge, right? In James chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but you are sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver, one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? So are we supposed to judge or are we not supposed to judge? As we follow Jesus? Are we supposed to judge the way that somebody else is living? Are we not supposed to judge the way somebody else is living? Are we just supposed to put on blinders and go like, okay, I'm just gonna walk through life and I'm not gonna judge anybody. I can only judge myself. As Paul says, we all stand before God at some point and we will all be judged, right? But where are we supposed to walk through life and go, okay, I'm making a judgment about this. I'm making a judgment about that. I want to follow this. I want to stay away from that. I want to live like this. I don't want to live like that. It's tricky because we throw all these things around, right? Maybe some Christians believe it's our job to judge everyone and everything as part of our duty as Christ followers. Other Christ followers will go, no, it's not my job to judge anybody. Because Jesus says, don't judge. The dilemma lies in this. We need to learn how to distinguish between moral discernment and personal condemnation. Scott McKnight says this ability to know what is good from what is bad and able to discern the difference versus the posture of condemning another person. Jesus stood before the woman in John 8 and said, go and sin no more. It's almost like Jesus was saying, hey, I didn't create you to live like this. This way of that you're living is not bringing good into your life. It's messing up all sorts of things. It's destroying your life. Look at the situation you're in. You're brought out, drug out into the streets, and people want to stone you and kill you because of the way you're living your life, and you're probably living that way because all sorts of things that stacked up in your life to bring you to this moment. Go and sin no more. And yet he's turning away the people that want to bring judgment upon her. Why? Because they, by their very actions, are sitting in the throne. They are sitting on the throne going, this person is not worthy. This person is not good. This person's life should be over because of the actions that they have taken. See, there's a difference between moral discernment and personal condemnation. So a question, does your judgment look more like moral discernment? To which you're able to go, hey, I understand this situation. This is how I see this situation. At the end of the day, we're all coming before Jesus. But I'm not going to walk like that. Or is your judgment more of a condemnation? This person's right, this person's wrong. This person's good, this person's evil. Pay attention to how people judge. Pay attention to how the words people choose to say. Pay attention to how somebody's talking about somebody else. Is somebody making judgments out of the grace and mercy and forgiveness that they've experienced from God? Or are they making judgments, acting as though they're sitting on some kind of throne, declaring what is right, what is wrong, who is right, and who is wrong? Jesus continues in Matthew. He says, do not judge or you too will be judged. It's kind of like this idea that he linked with forgiveness. Those who forgive will be forgiven. There's a way of saying this, of what goes around comes around. If you walk around judging everybody in life and with judgment, Jesus is actually meaning if you walk around condemning everybody in life, guess what's eventually going to happen? You are going to experience that same sort of condemnation in your own life. You will be judged for the measure in which you use, it will be measured to you. Then Jesus has this little story, this little parable that he says. Why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Jesus says, you hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus gives us this parable, this analogy that I'm sure many of us have heard, and I don't know about you, but it sticks in my head, and I have this image of somebody walking around with like a 2x4 in their eye, right? And then somebody walking around with like a speck in their eye. Like that's the image that instantly comes to mind. I've never had a 2x4 in my eye, but I've had a speck in my eye, and I know what it feels like. It does not feel good, right? But Jesus is saying, look, don't judge other people by the measure that you condemn somebody, that will also be measured to you. And then he says, Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother or sister's eye? Why are you walking around looking at the speck of dust in everybody's eye and calling foul on it? Like you're the referee in the game and you get to dictate what's right or wrong, who took a wrong step, who made a wrong decision. Why are they doing that? Why are they thinking that? It's not okay for them to believe that. Jesus says, when you have a 2x4 sticking out of your eye. Jesus says, oftentimes, this is what we look like. When we're walking around making judgments, condemning others, making blanket statements about other people, but we are ignoring the own hypocrisy in our own life. Have you ever experienced judgment from somebody? Somebody saying, you are wrong in one form or another. And you look at their life and you're going, you kidding me? You're telling me I'm wrong? Have you looked in the mirror lately? I've seen all the things you do. I've seen all the things you post. I know how you live. Jesus is warning against this kind of judgment. He's saying our job is not to walk around and call the fouls. Our job is not to walk around and point out who's wrong, who's right. And he says, if you do that, you better make sure you deal with the hypocrisy in your own life. It's interesting, in this section, this little parable, does Jesus say, does he reinforce the fact that you shouldn't judge? No. Jesus says, don't judge, which he's linking to like this more of a condemnation type judgment. You're the judge saying someone is good or evil. Jesus saying, don't do that. And then Jesus walks into the story, says, hey, when you do judge, when you make judgments, take care of the speck in your own, or take care of the plank in your own eye before you point out the speck in someone else's eye. And then he says, you will see clearly. He agrees. Amen. You will see clearly when we do the work and we take care of the planks in our own eye, we can then see clearer and make moral discernments in other places in our life. It's a matter of awareness, right? It's a matter of becoming aware and allowing Jesus to work in your heart, in your mind. Throughout the ages, there has been this thing called a prayer of examine. We will talk about it in a few minutes, but there's this prayer of examine in which every day, priestly orders would pray through this list of questions. And it's this way to stand and sit before Jesus and let Jesus, the Holy Spirit, examine your heart and your mind so that you can deal with the planks in your own life as you point out the specks in others, so that you can be transformed, so the Holy Spirit can work in you, so that you can see clearly. Rich Velotis, in his book about the Sermon on the Mount, goes through a list of these questions. Where am I failing to live up to the standard that I expect from others? Sometimes in a weird way, we judge others because we're not living up to the own expectation in our own lives for ourselves. So the way to relieve that is it comes out by judging other people. Where am I failing to live up to the standard I expect from others? Another question, how do I currently benefit from the patience and grace of God? A third question, who in my life can help me see the blind spots? See, once the plank is removed, we can see clearly. Often the plank is removed by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our minds and our hearts, to illuminate the places in our life where maybe we're slightly off course, or the deeper issues of sin that are wreaking havoc in our own lives. Sometimes it means bringing along a trusted friend to help you see the shadow parts of your life. See, Jesus' point isn't that those around us don't have significant issues or need guidance or direction. His point was, come to Jesus yourself. Do the work of examining your own heart, your own mind first, before you step into the lives of others. And then you can morally discern from a place that comes from humility and grace and mercy and forgiveness, rather than coming from a place of pride. Jesus then continues. He goes right from this parable about the plank and the speck, and in the next verses, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I don't know about you, but I feel like that was a quick turn, right? Like a quick turn from what Jesus was talking about. It makes sense. And all of a sudden, Jesus throws these couple lines in here, and you're going, huh? What does this mean, Jesus? One thing that I know for sure is Jesus is certainly not calling people dogs and pigs, right? Like, let's just get that, let's just make that clear. But Jesus is using these metaphors as a way of saying these things don't belong together, these things don't fit. Dallas Willard, in one of his books, said this, it's about helpfulness. Dallas Willard says, don't be a pearl pusher. He says the problem with pearls for pigs is not that pigs are not worthy. It's not a worthiness question, but it's a helpfulness question. Pigs cannot digest pearls, cannot nourish themselves with them. Likewise, a dog with a Bible or a crucifix, the dog cannot eat it. The reason these animals will finally turn on you is one day they'll step up and get tired of what you are offering them. See, it's a helpfulness question. Jesus is saying, don't offer pigs to pearls. In the Old Testament, the rabbi culture would offer these nuggets of wisdom from Scripture, and they would equate them to pearls that you could give somebody. Because if somebody saw them for what they are worth, it would be result in radical transformation of their life. But Jesus is making a comment about judgment, about how we judge, about our hearts, about our demeanor as we judge. And he's saying, look, sometimes you have this great wisdom and insight to offer. Sometimes you want to offer somebody Scripture. Sometimes you want to offer somebody advice. Sometimes you think you know what somebody should do, and they don't see it. Right? Have you been in that situation where you think you know the path for somebody? You think you know the right thing to think. You think you know the right thing to believe in. And you try to offer that to somebody, and it lands nowhere. Sometimes they might even be angry for you offering that pearl. So Jesus, at the end of this section, is saying, hey, don't give pearls to pigs. It's not going to be helpful. They can't use it. Sometimes we actually want to give advice because we want to be helpful. Like we see things, what we think is clearly, and we've done the work. We've examined our own heart and our own minds, and we've done the work. We've tried to deal with the plank sticking out of our eye, but we still see these specks everywhere, and we want to help. We want to be useful. We want to help build the kingdom of God around us. But sometimes it's not received. And sometimes it's not the right timing, or sometimes people's hearts aren't soft, or sometimes it's just not helpful advice for them. Jesus is saying, don't throw pearls to pigs. See, sometimes we come with pure hearts wanting to help. And the flip side of that is sometimes we come from a place of pride, from a place of ego, from a place of I'm right and you're wrong. Which then loops us back to what Jesus said in the beginning, take out the plank in your own eye before you start pointing out the speck in others. See, I think in our lives, we are called to morally discern life around us, right? We see Paul do that. We see Paul write letters to churches going, hey, you're off here. You're going down the wrong path. Change the way that you're living. We see it all through Scripture. We see Jesus doing that. Go sin no more. Go live differently. Don't, like, you need to work on your heart in this. The whole Sermon on the Mount is Jesus pointing out ways in our lives, in our hearts, that we are going off course. So there is a place for moral discernment. But Jesus and the other New Testament authors repeat over and over and over again, there is no place for you to sit on the throne and make judgments about who's right and who's wrong. There is no place for your ego to get puffed up. Oh, look at all this theology that I know. Look at all this Bible that I read. I can now tell you how you're living wrong, what you're doing wrong, that you're going to go to hell. Jesus is saying, no, no. Don't judge. Don't do it. You are not God. So I want to give us a few moments. Worship team will come up and play some music. But I want to give us a few moments just to sit with the Holy Spirit. Prayer team will get up. I think they're here. I will get up and move to the corners of the room. Because I want to offer this a space that if you need prayer, these amazing people will pray for you. And let me remind us, it is not a weakness to ask for prayer. It's the strong that ask for prayer. But just a couple questions for us to think about. This is from what's called a prayer of examine. You could look it up on Google, and there's a lot of different varieties of kind of questions to go through at the end of the day. But this is a way to work through the planks in your own eye. So that you can come to a place where you can morally discern situations from a place of humility, from a place of grace, from a place of mercy, from a place of love. Did I see anyone through the eyes of Christ's love today? did I walk around just making judgments about everybody that I came in contact with? This person's dumb. This coworker doesn't get it. Why are they living this way? Why are they doing that? Why do they think this? Of course, my way of thinking about politics is correct, and they are all wrong. See, sometimes we can accidentally get in the place where we just become the judge in our lives of everybody else, right? I've been there. I've done it. It happens so subtly. And so a question like this, hey, did I see anybody through the eyes of Christ's love today? Did I look at somebody and go, they are God's child. They are made in the image of God. That's what I see first. I know their exterior is rough. I know it looks like they're going down the wrong path. I know they're making all sorts of decisions that I wouldn't make. But they're God's son. They're God's daughter. They are made in the image of God to bear that image out into the world. Did I bring my anxious thoughts before God in prayer? These things that I'm worried about, these things that I'm anxious about in life, did I bring it to God? But in everything, don't be anxious, but in everything, bring everything we have before Jesus in prayer and petition. Was I present to God's presence in the silence? Is there any sin I must confess and request God's forgiveness for? We'll keep these questions up, and I just want to give us a couple minutes just to pray. Just to sit with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you want to pick a question and just pray it. Have a conversation with Jesus. Or maybe you're in the place where you've found yourself as judge, and you want to confess it, and you want to repent. I encourage you, stand up and go receive prayer. Jesus, we come to you. And we come to you as your sons and daughters. Come to you as sons and daughters with a propensity to judge for a lot of different reasons. And we confess that to you. Confess that we judge others because they're not where we think they should be. We confess that we judge the way that others live. We judge their spiritual lives because they aren't spiritual enough. We judge their decisions. Jesus, we confess that we sit on the throne and declare what's right and wrong. Holy Spirit, may you search our hearts. Search us and see where we're anxious. Search us and see where we have a propensity to judge others. Search our own hearts and our lives and our minds for the places that we need to continually bring to you in our lives. The places that we're hiding from, the places that we don't like to think about. Jesus, we pray that you invade those spaces, bring healing to those spaces. Deal with the planks in our own eyes, Jesus. Jesus, you call us to discern our world, to be salt and light. You call us to be helpful to friends, to family, to community. And often that starts with the discernment. So Jesus, I pray that you deal with the planks in our own eyes so that we can discern clearly, so that we can be helpful when you lead us to be helpful. Praise you. Continue to work in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to do something like this prayer of examine frequently during your week. Just take some moments. It can be in the car. It can be in the morning. It could be at night. Just take some moments and just pray through some questions. And just sit and listen for the Holy Spirit. He'll talk to you, I promise. It may take some time. But the Holy Spirit will lead you. Amen? Amen. Well, as we close today, may you go. And may you judge rightly this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, church. We'll see you next week.